community and Spanish-speaking community, and you want them on, please send them to me, Dolores Costello, WBAI, Black Awareness, and I will announce them. Right now, the Black Panther 21, they are still on, they're having their hearing, and we're asking people to go down in support of the Panthers. Martin Sostra was awarded $13,000 by Judge Constance Baker Motley, which is a step in its by itself. Martin Sostra is the brother that sued Governor Rockefeller for the inhumane treatment of prisoners, and that was all prisoners, and Judge Motley heard the case and she awarded him $13,000. I am asking people, I'm taking this on personally now, if Adonisio wants to take the Fairness Act, he can do so, but I'm asking people to go to Newark now, tomorrow, the next day, and help in the Kenneth Gibson's campaign for Newark. We are working very hard trying to elect a mayor, and not only because he is black, but because we feel that he's the best man out of all of the people that were running, and we feel that he will serve all of the people and not just a few, and will get rid of the corruption. So if you're interested in it, please go to 502 High Street, Newark, New Jersey, or you contact the Committee for United Newark, and they will welcome you. We need all the help that we can get. Ocean Hill Brownsville is having a fair, and it's from June 5th to the 7th, and we're asking everyone to come out. This is Dolores Costello from Black Awareness. Thank you very much.
Black Awareness was pre-recorded. This is WBAI, listener-sponsored radio in New York. The time
16 minutes past 1 o'clock.
Now, we do have one or two poor white people in Dorchester County, but it's not enough poor white people in Dorchester County to really say that we got poor whites here, because for the reason, the white people looks out for the white people, but the black people, they don't have any control whatsoever. They don't have any power in Dorchester County. And the Indians have lesser power than the blacks got, because they are so much less than us. So therefore, now the hunger situation, it's a terrible situation. We got right now, and we have just in 67 back here, where cases of children die from hunger. And one particular case where I had to take this family and move them into my house in 67, this man had six grandchildren, and four of them starved to death and left two. And these two had looked like clothes hangers when we found them. And this white man had this family living on his place, and he had this old man working for him. And these children, well, they never went to no school and this sort of thing, and there was, and four of the kids died, and he buried the children, you know, and in Dorchester County, they just don't care. They just really don't care for black people and Indians. They really don't. That's just how it is.
The last 30 years, I have been on this police right here, and I have farmed a little bit, and fished a little bit, because I didn't have any education to forecast right on to get any other jobs. And so I've been living here for the last 30 years. And
Do you own your property?
I don't own this place.
Who owns it?
The daughters of Mr. Babe Rogers.
Who is Babe Rogers?
The man stays over next to Ridgeville, over here, runs milk dairy and all.
Okay. And you rent the property from him?
Well, I rent it from the girls what own the place. I rent the place from them for $300 a year. That's all they charge me now, but I had been sharecropping with him here for years and years back. And after the daddy died, then I started renting this little place, planting a little bit of tobacco on the place. And working out in the water. I plant a little bit of tobacco. Well, I started working out, and I work out, come in the evening, and try to plant a little bit of tobacco and try to make a little extra. And generally, when you make about $2,000 worth of tobacco, when you don't have help and labor and your own family to help get it, why, when you get through paying out for gas bills, fertilizer bills, the rent bills, for the stuff you put on the tobacco and your tobacco beds and everything else, and I don't have any tractors no more. I'll have to either rent a tractor or somebody else is on to plant it with, see, and to plow it with. Why, you don't, I have not cleared over $400 and $500 for my whole working during the whole year off the tobacco.
Yet you have to pay $300 for the property.
Yet I have to pay $300 for the property.
So that leaves you less than $200 a year to live on.
That's right. That's right. It leaves me really less than $200 to live on. And the only way I get to live, what I get to living, I'd get out and work, well, way back years, I worked in log woods, pulp woods, sawmills, and so forth, because I didn't have education enough to get any other job. I didn't know what that was. Well, if you went to a place to get a job and you didn't have, say, the third education or the second grade, well, you didn't get no job.
We got quite a few sick Indians in the communities, and we got some in heart trouble and this sort of thing. They don't even have jobs at all. And then the worst part about it, these Indians were sick. Some of them even not on welfare, because the welfare will not put a man on there unless they show he die. That's right. Because we got some of them right now that they have got heart trouble and they got some kind of zemias and this sort of thing. And you name it, and they got it. But the welfare won't do it because there's a man, and they look at them and there's beauty ghosts that look like skeletons. And the welfare refused to give them a welfare check. And the ones where they are is giving welfare checks, it's so little, like two kids got to live off $40 a month and this sort of thing. So that's why that they don't have, you know, they don't have food at home to eat.
This is Bill Schechner, and this is the Public Affairs Special. The voices you just heard were citizens of Dorchester County, South Carolina, where of a total of 24,000 residents, 9,600 earn less than $3,000 a year. Some, as we just heard, far less than that. Despite this, the 1967 official figures show that the state public welfare aid for the county was $31,000, compared to $386,000 spent in the same year for highways. The tapes we'll be listening to for the next 40 minutes or so were made by Ken Mosakowski, a student at the University of Massachusetts who was in South Carolina earlier this month as part of his work with the Martin Luther King Social Action Council, a campus organization which is concerned with social problems and whose most recent project has been to bring food to residents of Dorchester County. It was during that visit that these recordings were made. The tapes were made available to WBAI and edited by myself. The situation in Dorchester County is somewhat complex. Since 1965, a voter registration drive has been underway there, combined with an effort to integrate the local schools. Leverage to oppose these actions, as you will hear, has been applied, among other ways, through the local welfare system. The result has been the denial of aid to many and inadequate help for others, which has meant continued malnutrition and near starvation in the area, which is near the part of South Carolina which was spotlighted last year by Dr. Donald E. Gatch, who said starvation was common. A leader in the local struggle is Ms. Victoria DeLee, who has worked to register black voters and to enter black candidates in local elections. Her house has been bombed and then burned to the ground, her life subsequently threatened. Still, she has continued and has helped the county's 500 Indian citizens, denied entrance in the local high school, and forced to attend a poorly staffed four-room school to organize a freedom school. Hers is the next voice. The interviewer is Ken Mosakowski.
This woman is the mother of 13 children. And you know, she had the welfare give her $80 to live off, her and those children. Because some of the children that she was married, her husband had left and went off. She's kind of mentally like, and she had children by some other people, some other man, and they said, well, you can't find the daddy. You got to find the daddy to take care of these children, so we only take care some children where you say that the daddies, you can name them, that's going off, see? And so they give her $80. And these kids ate up a man cornfield. He had 2 acres of corn planted by his house. This is the God's truth. And the kids ate the cornfield. They ate up next to the man's yard, just enough that he wouldn't see them in the cornfield. And they ate the whole cornfield of corn raw from time to time, just eating. And the man didn't know the kids eating. When it started off the shooting, the murtin', the kids started eating corn. And when the man found out the children was eating the corn, it was corn was done too hard then, and he went out there in the field, and the kids had done that every row of that corn up to near his yard. And they did this potato field, the same thing. They grab all the potatoes and eat them out in the field, just eat them, anything they could find. The kids go around and steal from the people in the nighttime, from hunger, that's right. And here in Dorchester County, we got case after case, and the welfare knows it. We go to the welfare, I go to welfare with people every week and sometime every day out of the week, and bring these cases up where the people are starving, where children are starving, I mean, and this sort of thing. And when kids get out there and steal, then they take them and put them on the chain gang to work them, because just about 3 weeks ago, I had to take a boy off the chain gang. He wasn't but 15 years old, and he was supposed to try a child in a criminal court unless he's 16 and over. They try them, yeah, and find him guilty in the criminal court, and they're 15 years old. And put him on the chain gang, and this boy was 15 years old, they put him on the chain gang, and he went out and worked this day. And when I found out, I got at the sheriff about it, and I ordered him. I said, if you put that child out there, we going to really tear up Dorchester County, because the only power we got is by demonstrating and picketing and this sort of thing. And they know we'll do it, even if we go to jail on one. And so then the sheriff didn't send the boy out.
Following a series of holdups and welfare payments, which appeared directly tied to the recipients' attempts to have their children attend the white schools, Mrs. DeLee went to Washington to complain to the area's representative in Congress, Senator Ernest Hollings. She reports what happened.
I brought this up to Senator Hollings' attention. Senator Hollings told me he had somebody down here, and he's going to sure check it out and go see about it, because he knew that it was wrong. I hadn't heard a thing from Senator Hollings since I left him up there, because I knew you'd do not get me up that office, see. So, but he was real nice to me when I went there and this sort of thing, you know, and he could see what I was doing, and he was in sympathy with it, and he just couldn't see how they was cutting off these checks, because he is all for hunger. And I told him, I said, you ain't Buford over there and recruited up in this sort of thing. But honey, it was right under his nose in Dorchester County, and right here, plenty of it. I said, all you gotta do is just come right over there, and I can show you the same thing there. And it's in all these counties. And so he's, yeah, this is what I'm fighting on, and I'm going, me and this senator, we got this bill in Congress right now, and he went on talking this high, you know, saluting stuff, where he figured I didn't know what he was talking about. Because my concern was hunger, and I know what he's talking about when he talk about hunger. I mean, he's talking about the senators and what they're voting on, all kind of stuff. They see, and he know that he was kind of lost to me. So then he said he was going to get somebody to dig into it right then. So he must have digged past it. Because we hadn't seen him, you see. So it was just all that, you see. So now I spent $19 for taxi cab fare when I was in Washington, going from one senator office in one place and another, trying to see about getting help. But I didn't get to Mr. Thurman's office. I didn't, because I wasn't prepared to be locked up that day. And I figured if I go there, he was going to lock me up, because me and him don't get along at all, because he know that I know what he do ain't right, see? So I didn't get to his office, because I knew I wasn't ready to go to jail. And if I know about it at his office, I was going to jail, because I was going to tell him all, and tell him what he doing up there, tell all these lies and stuff, And we down here, we the one, the people down here starving and catching hell in South Carolina, and he up there painting the picture that South Carolina is a rosy place. But let us tell it, he had to get us in one of them Congress or them senators meeting. We could tell it like it is, because we live in this stuff. We've been in this thing all of our days, and we starving. We got kids down here who is done dead and buried. That's right, from starvation. That's right here in Dorchester County.
This is WBAI in New York.
And we out here fighting now, and we can't get no help. People that done live all day, like these old Indian women and stuff, and what you get. The highest amount you can get from welfare or whatnot is if you get the $50, baby, you made it. You made it. If you get $50 a month, you can say you living high. But that $42 is the limit. And the welfare tells us Thursday that it's left up to them. They do the budgeting. They give according to the person's needs. And here was a woman, an unread woman, with four head of children, right? Mm-hmm. And herself. And the welfare did, and she got to buy everything her and those kids need. And the welfare only seed where she needed $108 a month for five head to live on. And she said it was left up to her, and she budgeted for that. And they got to pay light bill, pay gas bill, insurance, eat, clothes, and everything, five head live off $108 a month. And she said that it was left up into their hands. I said, well, honey, if it's left up in your hand, then I know we're gonna keep on dying, or else you start a war or something, and just go stealing.
So then you haven't really gotten any help from your representatives in Congress?
Oh, no, except sending me off to the office and telling me what the senators is doing up there.
Mendel Rivers hasn't helped you at all?
No, and he got plenty of letters, too. That's right. These people, these Indians have been writing them letters up there, too. And Mendel Rivers don't even look back at us. That's right. He don't even look back. Mr. Mendel Rivers is down here. He just heads down there to them air bases in there to Charleston, and then they can fix these big, beautiful statues of Mr. Mendel Rivers. That's all. But we poor people, he don't know us. All he wants is the vote. Well, he wouldn't have to worry too much, because nobody had never run against him until the Evelier or Mr. Payton do. But if he would really recognize us much more if he had somebody running against him. See, but now he had never had nobody opposing him till George Payton opposed him the other year. But I'm quite sure as soon as somebody really get up to run against him, he'll find out where else at. That's where all of them do.
Then, Mrs. DeLee, how widely spread is it malnutrition in terms of numbers? Do you have any assessment at all?
No, I couldn't say it to the exact numbers. But it's so much here until...
Biggest majority of them.
That's right. Because Indian community, everybody is malnutrition, and the majority of the blacks is malnutrition. As I told them up in Washington, talking about hungry, malnutrition, all we know is we hungry and ain't getting nothing to eat. And when you do get something, what you got to eat? The biggest thing what the people eat here is beans, cornbread, sometime a little rice, otherwise it's grits. Beans and peas and that cornbread and biscuits, just like you see she got over there. That's our daily diet here, everybody.
Cook
people
fire.
Don't know. And neck bones.
Beans for dinner.
That's right. That's right. You gotta warm the stuff over and over. You can't throw away nothing. If you cook more than what you're gonna eat, you gotta keep warming it over. And this sort of thing. And this happens every day.
That's why the people is dying out, with disease, eating this leftover food and all of that, trying to save it for another day and then getting food poison or something,
Yeah, and in our situation here, you get food poisoning, even you not get food poisoning, because if you ain't got money to go to the doctor don't care, you just died, that's all. You just died.
You go to a doctor and they share Dorchester County. The one say he treats you if you got $20, and then he'll make sure you won't bring back a penny home. You pay for everything in Dorchester County.
The problems of poverty and malnutrition are most severe among the area's Indian population. The next voice is an Indian citizen, John Muckenfoos.
Have you been hungry during some of the winters?
Well, I have went pretty short, I'll tell you, during the winters. If it got too cold and I couldn't get out of the log woods, boy, I'd go short, pretty short.
Have you tried to ask for help from the local authorities?
Well, lately I have went to them for help. For the two young ones I had these two young ones we raised, and I went to the welfare department for help. And so after all the school going on, why, they told me if I'd put them back in this other school or whatever, why, they'd give me a support fund.
You mean back in the four-hole school?
Back into the four-hole school, they'd give me support fund.
And why do you not want to put them back into the four-hole school?
I told her they was learning more up here and getting more education.
By here you mean the Freedom School?
That's right. They're getting more education in the Freedom School than they is into the four-hole school. And into the four-hole school, the kids couldn't even... A lot of times, if you don't have the money to buy the books and pay for them, if they let them study out a book, you wouldn't let them bring the books home. And therefore, if the young ones couldn't, the kids couldn't study the books, they didn't have nothing to study out when they got home until the next day they went back to the school. And now the Freedom School is giving new books and bringing the new books home. And they get down in the night and study the books at home. And I don't have very much education, but by the being in the second or the third grade, by these words, if they don't know why, I try to tell them and explain the words to them. And then the next day when they go back, where they have the lesson.
I see. So you think the Freedom School provides more education than the four-hole school?
To my notions, I know these two young ones are getting more, and they have got to the four-hole school. Well, then, that's the reason I told them that I'd send them on there. If they didn't get but one biscuit a day, I'd rather for the young ones to have education and to come up like I'm come up, because I haven't got any education, and that's the trouble now.
So did you get any help from the welfare department?
Well, by we going up back up there the next week or so, when they had this young little court trial where they had about the welfare department, why, I told them the young ones were barefoot and they didn't have no shoes, and so she gave me $20 to buy shoes for the young ones.
And what about food?
Well, I asked them for some stamps about the food, and by me working on this other job, I started about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, to draw in a little ploy money, and I wasn't getting my $39 a week to feed, to take care and buy groceries for me and my wife and the two children, and to pay light bills and my gas bills for cooking. And I had to go to the doctors, some of the doctors at the same time, and I was getting enough, I figured, for me and my wife, but still I couldn't take care of the two children with just that little bit of money. If no stores right around here, what we got around here, why, you can't hardly buy no food out of them, because there's too high a price, the food.
The stores that have prices that you can't afford?
I can't afford, yeah. I got to always go to some place like St. George or Somerville or somewhere to some red and white place or some place like that supermarket where you can try to buy cheaper foods and things.
Well, I'll just tell you, my sales going all the time.
To live on, because lots of times you don't have the money they put in it, and you got to go down and just buy what you can buy if it's common food. And I tell you, the Morris weed is like little vegetables, what we raise right here in the garden. And we got to buy rice, and you got to buy your own meats. We eat a lot of rice and cornbread and stuff like that.
Which is cheaper?
Cheaper food to eat. Just like a lot of times if you need milk, why, maybe you sometimes you get a gallon of milk, but you can't afford to buy a gallon. I got two young ones, you know, him, me and my wife, and you can't afford to buy a gallon of milk every day. You can't maybe buy a gallon once a week or twice a week. And,
now, how often do you get to eat meat?
Well, we don't get to eat no kind of meat hardly unless it's our own meat or unless I ain't working like I is now and messing around go out and kill a few squirrels or something like that or catch some fish actually or something like that.
You do a lot of fishing?
I do a lot of fishing.
Well, can you fish all year round?
Not all year round because it's illegal to fish nets and so forth the year round. They give you so many nights to fish.
I see.
I was caught the other day fishing and they charged me a fine and I asked the man permission to go on his place and then the next morning when I went back there to take up a few nets trying to catch a few mudfish and ongam fish out the lake, the swamp, but the game warden was standing there waiting on me so he took what few nets I had and then they fined me for $25.
Could you pay the fine?
Well, I didn't have the fine right then, but I borrowed the money to go pay the fine with. And after it was the man's private land and private property, I thought that I could go there and fish because there was lawful nights to fish in the other stream. And I didn't see why it wouldn't be lawful to go in this stream to fish the nets and the man giving you permission to go in there. And the law, when I got down there, where they said that, I asked him if the man who owned the place had talked with him. He said, yeah, the man had owned him. He said, he's going to have to charge me the fine anyway. And,
what about the other Indian families here? How are they living now?
Well, there's some of them around is working to different plants. That had a little experience. They've not got the education, but they got some experience. And some of them's working around to different plants and about the Charleston. Hence, my boy is working to Somerville, the GE, and he went in for the same job I did. He's common labor. But he did have more, he got more education than I did, because I did. Finally got him where he could get a little more education than I had, and he had a little more education. So now he's working at the GE plant. He's got a wife and four children.
Now, how much does he earn?
He earns at $2.90 now. He started at $2.40 and he earns $2.90.
$2.90 an hour.
$2.90 an hour.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Is it Muckenfuss?
Muckenfuss.
For speaking with me this afternoon. Robert Wilder is a member of the Indian community here and supports a family of six. Mr. Wilder, what is life here like for you and your family?
Well, it's mighty hard, because I don't do no kind of public work and no kind.
Why can't you work?
I got an ulcerated stomach, got a plastic stomach on top of that, and heart trouble.
Do you get any kind of assistance from the public welfare?
No, none. They won't help me. They said he couldn't help me.
Do you know why?
I don't know why. No, I don't. They just don't want to help me is why I come. I went there 3 times for welfare help and won't help me. And they said they couldn't help me. They wrote me a letter to say that they couldn't help me. See? And I can't get no help. I've been trying and trying and I ain't got no help.
Do you try to do any kind of work at all to get money?
I can't. I can't do no work, because I don't be able. I was sick all night last night. I went down there this morning to my mama to see how she was getting along, and come right straight back to the house, because I drank milk all the time. I don't eat no regular food.
I see. Does your wife work?
No, she don't work. She got all that she can tend to me. It's because she's got 2 little babies and all, see? She ain't able to do no work.
Did the welfare people ever explain to you why they wouldn't help?
No, they ain't never explained to me. They ain't never said no more to me about helping me and nothing. Fenster wrote me that letter.
I'm back here in the home of Mrs. Victoria DeLee, speaking with two of the students from the Hollyville Ridgeville High School. Is that right?
Yeah.
Could you tell me your name, please?
Dorita DeLee.
You're one of Mrs. DeLee's daughters?
Uh-huh.
Who are you?
Gwendolyn Speaks.
You're also a student in the Hollyville High School?
Yes.
All right. Can you tell me a little bit about the school, how it relates to the others, how it's integrated or not, and what the percentage of black enrollment is?
Well, you know, like all of the students are integrated, you know, but most of the time the white kids be on one side and the black kids be on the other side. So it's mostly, it's not integrated altogether. You're in the school, but you're not actually a part of the school like the other kids are. You got 35 black and you got 304 white students. And the black students that come there, you know, they're like little stool pigeons. You're there, but you're not really there. You're ignored. You're seated in one part of the class and you're just like a normal empty